14. We're going to look at the first 11 verses of this chapter. And as you're turning there, I'm going to catch up to speed. Those who haven't been able to come to our evening services, and we've been going through the book of Revelation the past few months, and we started in chapter 1, and so I'm going to give you a little summary of what has taken place to bring you up to where we're at here today, and so why it's talking about the 144,000 and three angels today in our text. But chapter 1 opens up the book of Revelation, and the word revelation means the revealing, and so chapter 1 is about the revealing of Jesus Christ. John wants everyone to know and to realize that God, in this book of Revelation, he's explaining who he is, both God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so the book of Revelation is revealing, making known who God is. And lots of people think about the book of Revelation as just a future apocalypse, but it's really about understanding who God is and what he wants to accomplish down through the ages. And the book of Revelation is the climax or the ending of this, where he accomplishes his purpose. He created us. Because of sin, we chose our own way. And then we have the Word of God, the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, that talks about the way of God restoring his fellowship with mankind. And then the very book and last book of the Bible, the Revelation, is where that God proclaims the final appeal of trusting in the gospel, the salvation, that Jesus died for us and he's provided a way that we can spend eternity with him. And the book of Revelation closes with the final judgment. Those who are living, who reject the gospel, will be punished. But chapter 1 is the vision of Jesus Christ. And John sees him in all of his glory, and then he also sees Jesus in the midst of seven candlesticks, symbolizing seven churches. Chapters 2 and 3 then go on explaining individual letters to individual churches in present-day Turkey. And he praises some of the churches, others he condones, because they were doing things that dishonored him. And he writes these letters, and he lets all of us know about them because he is concerned, he isn't involved in our world. And lots of people believe that God just created the world and just let it go, but God is involved, and he wants to be involved in our lives, and he knows everything about us. He knows every hair on our head. And he talks about these letters because he knows what's going on in the churches. The same way that he knows what's going on in our lives, he knows what's going on in the church of Fairhaven Baptist Church. Chapter 4 is a picture of God the Father on the throne. And we see 24 elders around the throne and angels worshiping the Father. Chapter 5, the Lamb of God comes into this picture. And he is the only one worthy to open the scroll. Chapter 6 is the scroll being opened. And so it has seven seals. And so as we look through chapter 6, it's the first of three judgments in the book of Revelation. There's the seven seal judgments, then there's the seven trumpet judgments, and then the seven bowl judgments. And each of these judgments are for the purpose of bringing mankind to repentance. God wants to make them realize that he is God, he is sovereign, and he wants them to come and to recognize him and to worship him and repent of their sin. And chapter 6 starts out with four seals, which are the four horse judgments. And we have the white horse representing peace, the red horse representing war, the black horse representing famine and starvation, and the fourth horse representing death. And so the Antichrist came into the picture, and he ruled the world during this time period, during the future kingdom. And he is going to promise peace to everyone, and everyone's going to follow after him. But then, right after he comes to power, there will be war, famine, and death. And then we see here the fifth seal in chapter 6 is the plea from the martyrs, all those who have died for the cause of Christ. They plead for God to come and accomplish what he has said he's going to do. And then the sixth seal is the earthquake. such a large earthquake worldwide that mountains and islands move. And so imagine this great earthquake even affects the star, the sun, moon, and stars, their appearance. Maybe because all the dust in the air and the eruptions from the volcanoes causing us to be able not be able to see the stars. Then chapter 7 talks about the 144,000, from 12,000 from every tribe, and God sends them out. They finally, the Jewish people, understand the gospel, and he sends these 144,000 out to share the gospel worldwide. And he also puts a special hedge or seal of protection on these individuals. They cannot be harmed by the Antichrist or Satan. Chapter 8 then goes on to the next judgment. So we had the seven seal judgments. Now the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. And so the first trumpet judgment is a third of the trees and grass are burned up by hail and fire from heaven. Then we have the second trumpet judgment, which the sea, all the oceans, a third of them are turned to blood, and a third of living creatures die. And then the third trumpet judgment, the water is struck, and a third of the streams, a third of fresh water is made not able to be drank. The fourth trumpet judgment is a third of the sun and a third of the moon do not shine. And then the fifth, in chapter 9, we have the fifth judgment, and fifth and sixth trumpet judgment. And these are very cruel from our mindset. But God allows the bottomless pit to be opened, and actually demons torture men in the fifth judgment for 5 months. And then in the sixth trumpet judgment, 200 million horsemen are released from the pit of hell, who cast out fire and smoke and brimstone from the mouth, and a third of mankind die. So at this time period, a half of the people living during the tribulation time have already died, either by the rapture, by the first earthquake, or by these last two trumpet judgments. And so you see here, God is wanting all men to come to repentance. He wants them to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and recognize their need of salvation. And he sends out these 144,000 to share the gospel. And he wants all men to come to repentance. But as you look back to chapter 6, this great earthquake that shakes the whole world, men would rather hide in mountains and have them fall upon them, it says, rather than turn and trust in Jesus Christ, sadly. So continue on in chapter 10. It talks about a mighty angel symbolizing God's sovereignty over the earth. We just had these two terrible judgments of God allowing demons to torture and to kill mankind. And now in chapter 10, he brings forth, says that he is still sovereign. The angel has one foot on the ocean, one foot on the land. And he demonstrates he is sovereign, he is in control, and he will accomplish his purposes. Chapter 11, many of you know this chapter, the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, believed to be, they share the gospel. And the whole world sees them, and no one can harm them. And then at the end of the chapter 11, Satan is allowed to have power over them, and he kills them, and they're left dead in the streets for 3 days. And then God resurrects them and takes them up to heaven. So they accomplish their purpose of sharing the gospel. Chapter 12 is a little illustration of the woman, the child, and the dragon. And this is a picture of down through the ages how God has defeated Satan. He tried to destroy Jesus at his birth, and God was victorious. He's tried to destroy the nation of Israel repeatedly, and God has been victorious. And also later on in chapter 12, it talks about how that he will be kicked out of heaven. Today, he can enter into heaven and accuse us, but one day he will not even be able to do that. He will not be able to enter into heaven. He will be defeated, awaiting his final time where he'll be thrown into hell. Chapter 13, last week we looked at the Antichrist and the false prophet, two beasts. And the Antichrist is set into power, and then the false prophet comes into picture. The false prophet's full purpose is to direct all worship, all government attention to the Antichrist. He points all worship to him. He even sets up an image, a large image, that can move and open and close its eyes. And so he wants to direct all worship away from the true God to the false God. And today we look at chapter 14. It's where we pick up. Chapter 14 of Revelation. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on a mount of Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like a voice of many waters, and like a voice of a loud thunder. And I heard a sound of a harpist playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. And verse 4, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the spring of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then verse 9, Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. And so we look at this passage today. It's a picture of faithful witnesses. And the 144,000 faithfully shared the gospel all over the world. And then this last section that we're looking at today is these three angels. These three angels has three specific purposes. The first one flies through the whole world sharing the gospel. The second one then predicts the judgment. And the third then brings condemnation. And so they are giving one last call for all men to repent. And just as Phil read 2 Timothy chapter 2, talking about those who are faithfully sharing the gospel, we as well here today, we need to be faithful witnesses of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will not be living during this time period of the tribulation. But yet we have been given this gospel. And if we do not share it with our family and our friends and our neighbors, we are not showing love and kindness to our friends. And so we need to be willing to share the gospel. As we look at this passage of the 144,000, this is kind of like a parade or a show of that God has given this little picture we're able to see at the end of the tribulation. We've gone through the first two trumpet judgments. Chapter 16 is the final bowl judgments. And chapters 14 and 15 are kind of a prelude to this last and final judgment where all mankind will be punished. And as each judgment comes, the first the seals, then the trumpets, and then the bowls get worse and worse. And during this time period, the Antichrist is sole ruler of the whole world. He has one religion, complete power. And anyone who wants to buy or sell, chapter 13 says, they need to take his image on their hand or forehead, or else they can't buy or sell. And so but all worship has been directed to this false Christ. And God created us for a purpose to worship and to know him. And Satan's deception is to turn attention away from God to himself. And so right now, during this time period of the tribulation, most of mankind living is worshiping the Antichrist. And so God created them for a purpose, and now all mankind except believers are worshiping the Antichrist, sadly to say. But as we look at this chapter 14, it takes our attention off of the past two chapters of the world, and now it looks at heaven again. And chapters 4 and 5, remember that throne room where the 24 elders are around, God the Father and the Lamb comes in? We're back to that picture in heaven. And it's the very end of the tribulation, and it's where God is saying thank you to the 144,000 for their faithful witness. You think about it, also said that they are supposed to be virgins. I think the emphasis on this is because at the very beginning of the tribulation is the rapture. All Christians are taken to heaven. So at one point in history, there's no Christians on earth. And then because of the rapture, some people might come to Christ. Then God sends his 144,000 out. And these are people who were unbelievers at the point of the rapture, but then come to Christ, come to a saving knowledge. God sends them out, and they share the gospel, and many people come to the Lord. And then, think about it, God also protects them from all the harm that's taking place. And then also we see here that God puts restrictions on what they can do. They cannot marry. Because as you look through down through the ages, Satan has always used sexual immorality to lead people away from God in idol worship. In the Old Testament, you see this repeatedly. And so he restricts these 144,000 Jewish people from marrying, and he wants them just to be devoted to sharing the gospel. Because the Tower of Babel was also in Babylon. And so we see here, Tower of Babylon was set up for idol worship to make themselves like God. God took it away. Then you have the rise of Babylon, and then God allowed them to have their demise. And now again we see here, Babylon's going to raise itself up and be the center of the world's worship. And so we see here, Satan continues to try and raise up himself and have people worship him instead of worshiping the true God. But God sets up this chapter 14 to say thank you to these 144,000. As in chapter 7, he sends them out. Now in chapter 14, he says thank you for your faithfully sharing the gospel. And then as he praises them, then he also brings in the picture of these three angels. Now that you have faithfully shared the gospel, you 144,000 Jews, I am now going to send out one last call of repentance. And he sends these three angels worldwide to share a message of the gospel, that you are a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, but God has provided a way for you to get to heaven. It's simply by repenting of your sins, receiving God's forgiveness, and receiving his son. And it's simply, if you believe in that message, you will have eternal life. And so God sends these three angels out right before chapter 16. And he says, there is a greater judgment, a greater woe coming. And he's saying, repent. I created you for a purpose to worship me. You are worshiping this false idol. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And so as you look at chapter 14, verse 1, it says here, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And so we look at this passage today, we begin to see how God, he is involved in what's going on. He's involved in our lives. He's involved in our churches. And he wants us to be faithful witnesses. And as before we look at this text, let's open a word of prayer and just ask God to help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel. Father, thank you for this passage and the reminder for all of us how that we need to be faithful. You have placed us on this earth during this time period for a specific purpose to share the gospel. And you have people specifically in mind that you want us to talk to. Help us to love them and be willing to share the gospel. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 says, "Then I looked," and so John's speaking, and this is a new event that's going to take place. And he says, then John looked, and so he's seeing a new vision. "And there before me was the Lamb." And where is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? He is standing on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is in Jerusalem, and we all know where the Dome of the Rock is, where the tabernacle should be, and just in an eye distance on a higher hill is Mount Zion. And so that's where Jesus Christ is pictured to return. And so we have the Lamb of God, Jesus. John sees this vision, and the Lamb returns on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, these faithful Jewish witnesses who have been sharing the gospel through these first two trumpet and sealed judgments, who has his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. The same way that the Antichrist has placed a seal on all unbelievers to worship him, God has placed a seal of protection on these 144,000. And it says here in verse 2, "And I heard a sound from heaven, like a roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. And the sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing their harp." And so he hears a sound, a large voice. And this voice sounded like a large rushing water. I've been to Niagara Falls and hear that loud sound. You can barely hear yourself talk. The loud rushing of water and the loud peal of thunder. And that was God's voice. And the sound I heard was like a harpist playing their harps. And so judgment, this voice came with judgment, but also because he was joyful because of what they had accomplished. And verse 3, it says here, "And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders." So you remember back to chapters 4 and 5, we had these four creatures that were described, and they were singing praises and worship to God. We're back in this same situation where we're in heaven before God the Father on his throne with Jesus on his side and the four living creatures surrounded by those who are praising God. It says here, "No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." And think about this situation. We will never face the difficulties during the tribulation, but these 144,000 have endured a lot of, seen a lot of terrible things, and they have seen all the wickedness during this time period. And the way they view the world is different than the way we see the world today. And they could sing this song in a different way because they had seen all the tragedy during the tribulation. It says here in verse 4, "These are those who did not defile themselves with women." And so all around them during this tribulation period, the Antichrist is directing, the false prophet is directing all worship to the Antichrist. And they also have sexual immorality. But these men, God commanded them to keep themselves from being married or committing sexual immorality. "For they remained virgins, and they will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as firstfruits to God and to the Lamb." And so they will shine in a very wicked generation. We think sometimes during our time period it is very wicked, but when Antichrist is ruling and ruling the whole world, it will be a very wicked generation. Sexual immorality will be directed to as their form of worship to Satan. And verse 5, it says here, "No lie was found in their mouths." Speaking of these 144,000, they are blameless. So they were not sinless, but leading godly lives. Satan is the father of lies. He is the age of deception. And these people stand in contrast, these 144,000 who are sharing the gospel, they stand in contrast to the men who worship the Antichrist. They see all the wickedness, yet they see these 144,000 going throughout the world, and they shine for truth, for righteousness, instead of the wickedness and the unrighteousness of the Antichrist. Verse 6 says here, "Then I saw another angel." And so now he's seen another vision. So we've seen the vision of the 144,000 and how that they were faithfully sharing the gospel. And then verse 6 says here, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midair." This midair is where the sun reaches its highest point. "And he had an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, and people." So this angel's message is going to anticipate this final bowl judgment, the worst judgment that's going to take place. And people need to turn. God sends this last angel out to say, recognize, if you do not repent and turn to Jesus, you will face this final destruction. And so he goes all over the world, symbolizing every nation, tribe, and people. Verse 7, it says, "He said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory." Because guess what? Most mankind living on the earth is not fearing God. They're not reverencing him. They're not in awe of God. And then they're not glorifying him. They're choosing rather to glorify a creation that has been defiled, who is blasphemous to God, and they are worshiping him and going after sexual immorality and all kinds of wickedness. Rather than giving God the glory and fearing him, they're going after wickedness, because the hour of his judgment has come. And so God's judgment now awaits. Because you have not turned back and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be punished for your sin. It says here, "Worship him," speaking of God, "who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." And he's saying, turn from your worshiping this creation, this fallen angel, Satan, in the person of Antichrist. And he's saying, turn and worship the true God who created all things. Verse 8, "A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon." And so all worship is directed back to Babylon, the rise of Babylon. And he says here, "which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." And so imagine this, that they're intoxicated. They've been deceived and seduced by sexual immorality to go after the Antichrist. And there's the good news in verses 6 and 7, how that we can turn to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and give God the glory and fear him. Or there's the bad news in verse 8, and saying that how that if you do not repent, you will face destruction. And that is found here in verse 9. It says, "A third angel followed them and said with a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and its image and receives its mark on their foreheads or on their hand." And so he's giving us a warning. If you have done these things and went after the Antichrist, then in verse 10 it says, "They too will drink of the wine of God's fury." And so we see now that they are filled with intoxication and being deceived by the Antichrist. But now John says here in verse 10, "You will now experience the full wrath of God's glory, because you have gone after wicked things rather than turning and repenting of your sin and receiving God's forgiveness. You're going to experience God's full wrath for your sin, which has been poured full strength." And this full strength symbolizes how sometimes during this time period when John was writing this book, people would take wine and water it down. He's going to give them full strength of God's wrath on these people into his cup of wrath. "They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of holy angels and on the Lamb of God." And so all those who do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they do not turn from worshiping idols and worship the true and almighty God, they will experience eternal torment and burning sulfur, sadly. And the emphasis is on the end of this verse here in the presence of holy angels and the Lamb. Not only will it be an eternal pain and suffering, but also shame and embarrassment. Because they could have trusted in Jesus Christ. They could have turned in faith and saving knowledge of Him. But yet, they rejected Him and went after Satan and his lies. So they will face not only eternal pain and suffering, but shame and embarrassment because they turned after a false god. In verse 11 it says, "And smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, for anyone who receives the mark of his name." And so this third angel brings out the final fact. If you do not repent and turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will forever and ever suffer in hell. And that's the message these three angels bring. You already had the 144,000 for 3.5 years sharing the gospel. Now these angels come and one last time share the gospel and say, "Mankind, repent, turn from your sin, turn from the deception, and trust in the Almighty God." So think about this passage tonight, today. It's a very black and white picture. You either worship the Creator or you go after lies. The same way turn today, we have a message to take outside these doors. We can tell people about how they can have eternal life, or we can just go on with our busy lives and ignore that choice. But God wants us to be faithful. The same way as Phil read that passage, are you faithfully sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people that you meet? And are you sharing with them how that they are sinners and they deserve to go to hell? Are you sharing with them the message that if they do not receive Jesus Christ, they will suffer forever and ever in hell? Only if they recognize their sin, confess it to God, ask Him for forgiveness, and then receive Jesus Christ's righteousness in their place is the only way they can have eternal life. Is that your desire? And today, you recognize you haven't been faithful. Maybe you need to say a prayer to yourself and to God saying, "Please forgive me. Help me to be faithfully sharing the gospel." And for those of you who have been faithful, God will reward you in heaven. It says there will be a crown for evangelist. And God wants us to be faithful in sharing the gospel. We will not be living during this tribulation time. We will be raptured out. But as an example for all of us, here now and today, we have a command to share the gospel. And we hope that we are all faithful in sharing this gospel. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the example of these 144,000 who in the future will be faithful witnesses for you. And may we as well here today, may we be willing to lay aside what we want to do in this life, be willing to take opportunities to share the gospel with our friends and loved ones. And may you help us just to be bold and be persistent. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 392, please.
Amen.
Rise and close us in prayer.